Wednesday. So I'm not sure where he is. Right? The other person we're expecting was Mr. Esterhazen. Is he here? Right, and will you get hold of Mr. Alberts? The reason why I'm saying this is we need a quorum. We've got a quorum, but to take decisions, we need seven. So, we're going to start straight away with apologies. We have Mr. Honorable Buyani with a medical. We have Honorable Lo Tlangwani Weenie with a family bereavement. All the other members should be here and will be here. We have, and that's all really. I have no other apologies. Well, he's not a member of the committee, but what we do have with us here very quickly, the DG Lionel October. We have, that's why I come in after I've done. I'm not taking care of anyone, I'm trying to chair. But we can start a bit later at 10 past if members so wish. Given the venue. The staff have distributed the cleaned up copy. Is that right? And the conclusions. And I think the best thing for us to do is to skip the first three pages or so. Let's just move straight into it. Until you get to what would be an overview, as it were. And let's just do that page by page. I've made a note of the changes that had to be made. And they have been done. No, they haven't been done, but be that as it may. Page 7. Page 8, page 9, no, I didn't bother, page 10, page 11, page 12, page 13. I should have asked you, Mr. Hermans, did you send this to the department, to the DG? No, the N, right, okay. 14, 15. Seventeen, 19. I'm concerned that the figures and the percentages are still in grey. That means they haven't been verified throughout what I've been referring to. There are lots of grey areas. Yes, there's one, just as an example, there are quite a few greys. That tells me they weren't checked, tells us all. You know? So, we are going to ask you, Mr. Hermans, to ensure that those figures are verified before 9 o'clock. 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. You will recall that members of the committee asked if you could try and ensure that any, you know, headings or etc. could, you know, we could take them to the top of the page and not the bottom. So if you can try and do that with this table and take the table across, I know that what you're going to be telling me is you've got no control over what happens in the final edit. And that is important. Right. Thank you very much, Honourable Mutlungu, for coming here. Really appreciate it. So now that we have more members of the committee here, and we're on page 34, we will now start the meeting formally. We please have someone to propose the adoption of the agenda. Thank you, Honourable Williams. Thank you, Honourable Tierko. Right. The apologies, we did announce them earlier, but I would like to thank the whip from the Arts and Culture Division in a portfolio committee, Honourable Mutlungu, who, when I told him about some of the challenges we would experience this morning, said he would step in and assist us if we needed him in terms of the quorum, but more importantly, the decision that would have to be taken. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much for being here with us this morning, DG October. Thank you very much. We also have Ms. Padiachi, the DD, Deputy Director, CCRD. Of course, I also saw Mr. the DD, Acting DDG, Mr. Nietzsche Tenzi, and that's who I've got down here. I see a few other people. There's also, for the budgetary review and recommendation report, Ms. Matumela. Oh, there, right. And then we have Advocate van der Merwe, who's here to assist us in Parliament, the Parliamentary Legal Advisor. Right. You were asked to please bring conclusions, do you remember that, if possible, or email them. And I'm hoping that, Mr. Hermans, did you get any conclusions? Oh, you did get mine, right. Does anyone have conclusions? No. The extras, the ones that you wanted to add, you see. Do you have any? You do have until later, but I'm saying you do have any now.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I was thinking that one of the conclusions that we should have, and I don't know if it's right or wrong, but that local procurement become an audit outcome in as the auditors, you know, when they talk about the performance of a department, that should be one of the criterias that should be audited, that we can recommend, you know, something that is so that at an audit report they talk about financial performance, then they talk about, so yeah, thank you.
Chair, that's actually in a last year's BRRR, and that was something that I had put forward, and it's something that the AG has agreed to, but still hasn't been done. So you know, we're waiting in perpetuity for, you know, for this to be done.
Not waiting in perpetuity, we're going to take it to a recommendation, but I think in the conclusion it should be noted that it had been there.
I think if you check the previous BRRR, it's in a conclusion and a recommendation.
Yes, but you can have a stronger recommendation this year, that's what I'm saying. So let's not waste time on this and belabor the point. I've already indicated that this should be reflected upon in the conclusion, all right, what has happened. Yes, I think it's going to be better if you can come and sit here where we can see you, please. Thank you. We will do that, Honourable MacPherson. So I'm going to be asking Honourable Williams to perhaps draft part of that, the stronger recommendation, and for you, Honourable MacPherson, to draft the conclusion for Mr. Hermans. Right. Let's come back then to 34, because I know that two people are, you know, they do need to get to the Labour Portfolio Committee. On the bottom of page 34, that there's a lot in grey, and that means it's not... This came from you, aren't you? It's still grey. It is grey. This is Mr. Herman's copy, is grey. Mr. Williams is grey. Honourable Tierkin.
Thanks, sir. And there's a confusion. Can they verify our documents? Because we are speaking about grey. There's no grey on our documents. So we are confusing us.
Is it Matamela? Is that right? You raised your hand as the acting group chief operating officer. Won't you speak to the issue?
I just wanted to confirm that the department has written to the AG about the recommendation which has formally
been. When did you write?
Chair, I will confirm that.
You see, why I'm asking you that is generally we get told earlier that the department has done that, so we can put it in the report, you see. Was it done before the, you know, audit? Before this year's audit?
I'm not sure, Chair. I got the communication.
Oh, let's ask the DG perhaps to come in here. Can say, because we're still in the process, we haven't adopted it yet, that we can indicate the DTI confirmed, that's part now of the conclusion, that they did write to the AG requesting this. All right. Implementation. Was there a response? All right. I hope we can get that, you know, sometime today, please, to Mr. Hermans. Well, that's some advance, all right, on that bullet. Page 34. Page 35. page 36, page 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, whenever we've come to something we did yesterday, we need to just pause and see if it's been noted here. There was something raised around this risk-based issue. Do you remember? You raised it, Honorable MacPherson. Wasn't it yourself? Page 45, and then we came to the issues around whether it was manual or electronic, and we're now at the top of page 46. The risk-based approach was being fully implemented manually using that. And we said that would be in a conclusion, which it was, as I recall. Yes. Implementation, page 46. 47. While I see it, Sabs here, Mr. Hermans, you were sent an invitation for the committee.
Yes.
But the committee hasn't been told, because they were supposed to be told yesterday. Please, it will be distributed to you. For those of you leaving at 10, or 9 rather, I haven't forgotten, it was an invitation to attend their awards. Right. But it's not compulsory, it's up to each individual member. All right. Johannesburg, as I recall. I haven't got the invitation in my hand, all right. So, but what we will do is distribute it as well tomorrow, but it will be probably Santon, you know, one of those big conference centres. There we are. Because anyone who can go has been invited from the committee. 47. Then, I think on a separate piece of paper, you were probably given other issues, conclusions. Has everyone got that separately? Everyone's got it, right. Now this we'll focus on a little more. One. Localization and local procurement are critical tools. That's highlighted. I wondered if the right word to use would be tools. You know, the localization and local procurement, are they not measures? Oh, they're not tools per se. So, that's designations, etc.
Madam Chair?
Yes. Honourable Elder?
Policy instruments.
If I don't see anyone's hand up to object, it means we're moving, isn't that right? Yeah. Right, the committee welcomed the DTI's commitment to strengthen its monitoring capacity over compliance with local content requirements. So the moment we agree, we take it out of highlighting. The foreign direct investment into infrastructure is welcomed, but the committee emphasized the need to ensure that locally manufactured products are utilized in these in these projects then, with an S. The committee also agreed that in the 2018-2019 BRRR process, it would be important to engage with the Presidential Infrastructure Coordinating Committee. Do you recall our decision there? 3, progress with respect to Black Industrialist Program and promoting growth of black-owned and managed companies is welcomed by the committee. The policy and the program are a key part of government's broad industrialization initiatives to expand the industrial base and participation. We don't have to use the word black industrialists again because we've used it further on, and I did this, not the staff, so we can't blame the staff here. Broad participation, do we want to use the term again, black industrialists, in the manufacturing economy? I suppose we are referring to a particular program. The committee welcomed the appointment of the Commissioner of the Broad-Based Black Economic Commission, etc. In terms of the transformation of our economy, we need to ensure that the control, significant, that control, not the, sorry, again that's me, my errors, that control, significant ownership and leadership is a reflection of our society in the same way that our political space reflects this reality. Those are additions made essentially by the chair, so, you know, you need, can we move with them? Yes. 5, the committee noted with concern the regression with regard to the audit performance of the DTI and entities reporting to it, and stressed the importance of the governance issues, but also the technical issues related to shifts from one system to another, as exemplified in GRAP. And DG, you know, this was something that came up in 2 or 3 areas, and we thought perhaps next time we would need someone to come and give us a better explanation of, you know, that, and how we can ensure it's not raised again in an audit report. And the need for more robust communication between the respective entity and the AG's office. It is imperative that this relationship is strengthened so that the committee can exercise its oversight over all the entities falling under the DTI, but especially those facing challenges as identified in the, and it lists them. The committee noted with concern the decline in audit control measures that resulted in the NCC receiving an unqualified. I put that in red. Why would we note with concern an unqualified audit? Findings. Is it the findings?
It should be the findings.
Uh-huh. All right. So that was in red because I wasn't sure about that, what was meant there. It now comes out of red. However, it welcomed the NCC's acknowledgement. The committee intends undertaking more frequent engagements with the NCC to exercise more effective monitoring oversight on this entity. It was with concern that the committee noted that human resource capacity, etc., within the NCC still remains a challenge. 8, the committee welcomed the NRCS's improvement there, addressing letters of authority. In the grey, however, it noted with concern that the target date had shifted. Given this reality, it was imperative for the NRCS to provide the committee with a TO there too, with a fresh timeline and a deadline to operationalize the digital electronic platform. 8, the NRCS, etc. It was no longer acceptable, given the life-threatening dangers, to continue to work on a post-mortem approach before taking preventive action. I think that was a bit strong. I put in the grey, but I had read again the report we had done after that meeting, when, if you recall, it was noted that certain components could not be tested, But perhaps that is a little unfair until we engage with them. And I am asking the committee this for a comment. You know, that's me putting this in. It's not you discussing it. Do you think that's a little harsh in view of the engagement you had with the NRCS? Honourable Williams?
Chairperson, I don't think it's harsh. I think it's fine. It's, I mean, they need to be, showing how serious we are about their getting better, you know, their improvement. They seem to... I don't think it's harsh, Chairperson, that's all.
One view. Does anyone have a different view? The reason I myself am criticising what I've put there is I thought that one should have given them some time to do it. All right, that's fine. 10. In addition, the process to the formal verification of the e-tolling is welcome to ensure the accuracy of the system. The committee is of the view that an oversight of this needs to be conducted in loco. You remember what some of you said? Without warning, to ensure that this verification is undertaken within the required 12-month period. 11. Notwithstanding that the funding allocation from government to entities had been decreasing, the committee was concerned with SAB's ability to generate its own revenue to compensate for the shortfall. It welcomed the proposal of a SAB's business plan that seeks to address the financial challenges which would contribute to revenue growth. However, the committee informed SABs during its engagement that it would require this business plan within 6 months, that is before the end of this financial year. All right, now, and then you've got the 12th one. Those are the conclusions. Can we have someone to propose that we agree and accept those conclusions? Honourable Bunce-Culford?
Thank you, Chairperson. I agree and accept the proposals as being presented.
Second those conclusions. Thanks, Honourable Alberts. Right. Now, we haven't adopted the report yet. It's just to move forward. And what we're doing in moving forward, you will see, we will discuss recommendations here. But why I am intent on moving swiftly with what we have is because soon the two Labor, you know, committee members going to the Labor Committee won't be here. I've begun to draft the introduction, and I'll read what I have because I don't think you have it. It says, this assessment of the Department of Trade and Industry's performance reflects the increasing focus on attracting productive investment to grow the economy and create employment. Accordingly, the department is intent on creating a fair regulatory and competitive environment to promote trade and enterprise development using targeted broad-based economic interventions, such as the Black Industrialist Program. The department has continued to advance regional and international trade integration and participation. The committee would like to commend the department's achievement of a clean audit. Another sentence would come in there on manufacturing and industrialization, which is also done very well. And also the department has upped its performance in that whole export to support investment coming in, needs to come in there as well. So that will comprise the introduction, which I would have ready only this afternoon, which would be processed by Mr. Hermans. Otherwise, you have page two. Do they have page two? I did email this last night at 11:30. Margot, did you not? What? Yes, there we are, Penny. Okay, now it can be projected. can be projected. Right. I think I take longer to read through a report than most of you. And it's in order to do the introduction, you need to fully understand the report that's in front of you. So it did take me a couple of hours to do that. So these are some of the changes that you've got. You've got a page 2 there, and that in red are the changes. The next lot, well, I don't see a next lot. Am I correct? That's it, yes. And then the rest were changes you made. Right. You didn't get the intro, what was that? What I've read. Right, just project that then, and you'll just... No, leave that then. All right, members. What we want to do, and it's because we're not meeting Friday, all right? We're working Thursday. But we said we wanted to be at a point today that we could almost say we're up to adoption now, and on Thursday we adopt. Isn't that what we've agreed to? So I would like us, and that involves all of us now, to indicate that I'm understanding here that the House Chair has not agreed to Thursday. I'm just pointing that out here. I've just received that now. That means, members, we'll have to apply for an emergency meeting this evening then to adopt.
I just wanted to check, why are we not adopting the report now?
Yesterday we were all in the meeting when it was agreed that the caucuses would be given the opportunity to see this report. We did agree on that, you see. Parties are entitled to take the report to their caucuses. You know, if it is for them to say, we're happy. I can't enforce that.
Madam Chair, our party is comfortable in adopting the report today if other parties are willing to look at it.
Honourable MacPherson?
Well, Chair, I mean, we're going to stay in the meeting, so you'll have a quorum, but we're going to abstain from adopting the report.
So we've got the position of the parties present. Am I right? The ANC, Honourable Williams?
Chairperson, yes, that's correct. The ANC is ready to adopt this report.
I must just point out, you are adopting a report that does not have a completed intro, but I will fly that past every member in the House as a hard copy. All right? Honourable Williams?
Chairperson, we accept that as well. The content of the report that we're moving for the adoption is what we see before us now, and then, like you said, you'll show us the introduction, which is, although relevant, is not as relevant yet. Exactly.
Right. It's hardly going to make or break the report or the substantive challenges that are, you know, issues. But we must then do the recommendations. And I did ask, and it was agreed to, that we have a conclusion on the issue around the AG and the verification. Do you remember that, Honourable Williams? You have it.
With regard to that, it's there on four.
DTI confirmed that they had written to the AG regarding the committee's recommendation in the previous BRRR, that the AG includes compliance with local public procurement as part of their audit. Yes, Honourable Williams?
Chairperson, I think you should include a year there, not just previous. I mean, the previous could be 1972.
because in the end, he's responsible to see we comply with these legalities. Was it a recommendation last year? He's just checking that, but we will continue. All right? Then that, we said, should we look at the recommendations. Informed by its deliberations, the committee recommends that the House requests the Minister of Trade and Industry to consider. Should consider, it's fine. Establishing a monitoring mechanism in consultation with the Minister of Finance and other relevant ministers to ensure adherence. I think just put flat compliance. Yeah. Compliance with local content requirements and localization. It's the two. DG, won't you assist us with this phrase that needs to be there? Because we're always corrected when we're here with an entity. We would be talking of localization, and they'd say, no, this is local content. And I know the explanation we were once given is that localization means it's maybe a black industrialist company. Local content is often used by foreign companies in their factories here producing goods.
But, I think in terms of language, both are correct, but because local content is a frowned upon term in terms of WTO and such, we prefer that we just say localization requirements. But as I said, both are, it's the same thing. Local content is localization is the process, and
E.G. Honourable Wood.
Sorry, Chair, I was thinking that should we not say there that we should say compliance with the designated localization?
Yeah, because our thing talks about designation.
Do we call it designated localization or designated?
With the designations.
Designations.
Yeah.
All right, are we agreed on that one then? Well, Honourable Mantash, my apologies to you.
Thank you. I would also propose that we include that there should be consequences for non-compliance to localization for government departments.
With local designations.
Honourable MacPherson, it's not in the recommendation last year. We've just checked. No, in the B, we're talking about the BRRR. That's what we're talking about. It was not in that report last year. No. I think where you may have seen it was our engagement with the AG and the localization and local content. Miss Sheldon, that it's not in the BRRR. And we know it's not in the BRRR because we're looking at last year. Yes, Honourable William?
Chairperson, I think that it's fine as it is without including the AG because it says establish a monitoring mechanism in consultation with the Minister of Finance. So in other words, then, that's a more, it's the executive, whereas the AG, I know it's a, so I think we should just keep that as it is.
audit plan and the key control. We don't have to put the and key control measures of the department and its entities. Honourable Williams?
Jefferson, on that, I think it should say strengthen the oversight on the implementation of audit plans. Because that is what, yes, Jefferson, so it's the implementation, because some of them have plans that they're not implementing, and then some of them don't have plans at all. So we should say the creation of, or the establishment of, implementation, I think, Jim.
It was correct. Yes, but that's not the BRRR. The way we made this recommendation, Honourable MacPherson, was during those heavy engagements which took place in E249, but it was on the colloquium. Okay. So, quite right, we're now talking of the BRRR here, all right? So it must come in the recommendations, actually. Additional funding for SABs in the outer years of the medium-term expenditure framework to upgrade critical aging technical infrastructure, because they said it's impacting negatively on their work. So we must try and have that. All right. I would like, before anyone leaves, to ask members to, on the agreement that we've just conducted about not being able to meet Thursday night, we'll have to push everything over. It is going to mean a late night next week, which we will apply for in advance now. So anyway, here we go. We'll ask Mr. Hermans to conduct the formal process of adoption of the report. All right, can we ask someone to propose the adoption of the Portfolio Committee of Trade and Industry, the BRRR 2016-2017. And right, Honourable Williams, seconded by the Honourable Mantash. Please, can we have the objections first? We have the abstention second.
Madam Chair, we would also like to abstain on this report.
Right, we have the abstention of the Freedom Front.
And that's the abstention of the Democratic Alliance.
And the abstention of the Democratic Alliance. Now, before members from the Labour Committee leave, because I know they need to leave right now, we do need to just indicate that you'll get that invitation in the House along with the introduction, which is just a formality. And before you leave, once again, thank you to the Honourable Mathlangu. And may I, as Chair, apologise for three things. The fact that the room was not ready when you walked in, and ask the staff to ensure they inspect the room at least 5 minutes before. That addresses the technical and administrative issues. May I apologise for being rude to you when I opened the meeting. Thank you.
Chair, before we leave, you said you must apply for a late night meeting next week. You must also consider that on Thursday, on Friday, we are working. We have the whole day. So, yeah, you must consider that we can't have a late night on Thursday while we are working on Friday. So any date you can do, not Thursday.
The point is, you've got no other day. Tuesday, you've got a study group. Labour has a study group on Tuesday. And I have one of my international committees on a Wednesday, so just not possible. Well, that's why we meet on a Thursday night, and meeting full day Friday does not have to preclude working late on a Thursday, but of course one should not avoid working very late. I suppose that is the point. The point we need to bear in mind, and it's so important, we don't have enough time. We've lost three Fridays. We've lost three Fridays. And we've run out of time. And if I don't believe we should be working every Friday to make it impossible for you to get to your constituency. All right. So I am saying to Mr. Hermans, if we don't apply today, the problem is that we don't get, you know, it's late, and you do not get, no arrangement can be made with the Speaker's office, and that's where Mr. Froelich is within the Speaker's office, you see. So he prefers a week's notice, but we should be giving him 3 days notice. We're not doing that. So I'd rather give him a week's notice and cancel. Do we agree on that? Let's put this application in. If we don't need it, I'd be the first to cancel it. All right. I do know what it's like to work late. I got home at 2 this morning. I do know what it's like. And I don't want people having that. Right, so we will release the members from Labour Committee and continue. Now, members, that didn't apply to everyone, you know, being excused. So I hope we can all come up to the front. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of us. 6. All right. We're going to be doing addressing the copyright. So, and this does become a problem, as some members can see, when you have someone who is the chair of the subcommittee, never been here when we address it, not because she doesn't attend committee meetings, but because she attends two lots of committee meetings. And it becomes a serious challenge. The Honourable Montash is here, though, isn't she? Right, okay. Now, DG, I was made aware of this by Ms. Naidu, you know, the Parliamentary Liaison Office, that you've got work in the NCOP. But we actually appreciated you being here for the BRRR. To me, that was very important. Albert, you are staying, are you, till 10:15? Honourable Esther Hazen, you will be with us until 10:15. Thank you. Right. All right, let's make a start. And I've advocate Charmaine van der Merwe, who's the senior person running the crafting office there, the parliament, as we've been very fortunate that she is allocated to us for this process of the Copyright Amendment Bill. I'm not going to say more at this point. We know that we asked her to prepare this and to do certain work. And I'll now hand over to yourself, Advocate van der Merwe. But, you know, I never recognize someone who's sitting here, and that's your colleague, Johan, you know, Advocate Stradom. As you know, I don't see with the left eye, so I just see you now when I turn to Margot. Thank you for being here. Okay, Advocate van der Merwe.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, members. The committee responded to a proposal that I've made and positively responded to it, that we look at the Copyright Bill as introduced, consider the concerns that came up from the public hearings regarding technical issues. In other words, things like we had long lists or more than one clause would have a long list of parties who would qualify for something or who were able to do something. Members will remember words like user, performer, owner, producer, author, and members of the public were quite concerned about that. But to fix that up, because DTR's response was that was in fact just an error. So things like that, some aspects of the bill brought new aspects in new clauses, but didn't repeal it in the Act. It was still there. So it was nothing to do with policy. We were just tasked to clean up the bill so that it is something that is easy to read and that can be engaged with. In that regard, a team was established between trade, our office, the Legal Services Office in Parliament, and we were quite fortunate in that we had Ms. Naidu there for policy and Ms. Linayo to, for DTI to assist us on the policy matters. And we also had, trade also provided us with an expert in drafting an external person who DTI sourced themselves to assist us. We also had Advocate Stradom, who the committee know quite well and who has been quite instrumental in a number of the bills that this committee has considered. And then we also had some of the drafting team from the DTI, their internal drafting team. The state law advisor has been trying his best to assist us, but they are quite swamped. So he has been keeping abreast of matters via email. And if there is something, then he would make a comment and so on. So he has been involved, but he was not able really to assist us directly every single day that we met. And then this committee allowed us to have make use of the two experts that this committee was able to obtain the services of to assist this committee. So these two experts, Prof. Schoenwetter and Prof. Mube, also was there to assist us. So in other words, when we drafted, we had people around the table who made sure that we're not veering off the policy of the bill as it was introduced. It is quite easy to do that. I mean, a comma can make a big change. And we actually had a rule that anyone around the table could say, ah, this is policy, and then we parked it. So we made little text boxes in the documents that you would have received. You would notice there's like little boxes all over the bill. Those are just because there are still issues there. Or we have explained what we have done to certain things. So the team has met on about four or five occasions, and we have worked through the bill. There are maybe one or two things that we are not 100% happy with, but we are at a stage where we can give this bill to the committee and say the committee can proceed. Those little issues that are there, we can iron out as the committee is working through the bill in respect of policy and so on. Members will notice that the documents that you received show a large number of amendments. Now, I've given Andre two documents to distribute to you. The one will have deletion, so there will be words scratched out and then insertions, and one that just has the insertions. The one with the deletions read quite difficult. If you have to work through it, because your eye is not that quick on the our eyes tend to be better than Word. So we can actually read the things that are struck out, which means that you are reading two sentences at the same time, which makes it you need to concentrate. So the discussions among the drafting team was the committee has two options. The one option is that we work on the bill as it is before the committee, but that in the end we reverse engineer an A list so that the committee will report on an A bill, in other words. But the other option is that we do a redraft. So we accept the bill that is before the members, the one without deletions. Accept that the committee will proceed on that document, and that document will become a B bill. In other words, then there will not be a list of amendments. I have spoken with Mr. Bell from the Bill's office just to confirm what the practice is regarding an A-list process versus a redraft process, because that is where we will just work on a B bill. And what he confirmed to me is that the main reason for an A-list is so that we can keep track of amendments. Now, we have a document that shows those amendments, so the technical amendments. So anything that we amend going forward, I don't know, I think there was one or two members that was here when we did, on previous occasions where we worked on bills, we do colors, and we make sure that we keep amendments very clear and make sure where those amendments are. So it is only with the final document that we have a black and white document. The other document will show things that have been amended. So I'm quite confident that we will be able to keep track of amendments. And then what Mr. Bell said was the main reason why a committee would opt for a redraft is if your bill has so many amendments that it becomes, he called it messy, so it becomes difficult to work with because there are so many things in and out, then it is better to opt for a redraft. We did not take the liberty to call the document that we are presenting to you a B bill, because we did not want to presume that that is what the committee wants to do. But if the committee agrees that it would be easier to work with a document that has the final amendments on it, then we will change the cover and it will read a Bible, and we will also have on the cover page the description. We will say something about the committee having redrafted the bill. So I think just in summary, just to confirm, we did not touch policy. The bill as it's introduced, the policy from the bill as it is introduced, is still the same bill that is before you. The only things that we touched up was where multiple words were used and one word was actually indicated. Where sentences were difficult to read, we tried to simplify. We might have swapped things around so that a clause might follow more logically in the way that it reads, simply to make it more acceptable and accessible for people to read. So once this bill then becomes an act, the general public will also be able to clearly and easily understand. So that is all that we have done. And then at this point in time, like I say, the document is ready for the committee to work on. We just need an instruction from the committee whether we are going to still do the A-list process or whether the committee is of the view that a redraft process will be the best, which of the two options, routes to take, would be the best to follow. Thank you.
Thanks for that. Okay, members. If you've got any questions for clarity. No questions for... You're all happy, Ms. Larry. Impossible now, then. Honourable Issa Hazen, and then Honourable Albert, did you have your hand up?
Yes, I can see.
And then Honourable McPherson. In that order, thank you.
I was a few minutes late, just apology for that, but I was in V226, like the challenge said. When I was sitting, I was there with a few members of the press as well, one I think is still sitting there. But apart from that, I got an SMS early this morning, I just only saw it now. But apart from that, about the bill, Advocates on America, there's still some things that, that we keep on saying. If nothing has been changed on the bill still refers to users throughout the bill that creates a perception that users are the right holders themselves, which cannot be. You know, we say, we had very emotional presentations in this portfolio about this bill, and we don't want people that write hit songs and then maybe it get broadcasters, or they sell it to a broadcaster and they lose all copyright. They lose everything and they don't get anything out of it. It actually only became possible after technology came in this that people lost... Madam Chair, I might be on a later stage. I'm just trying to get my notes together. Thank you.
I am sorry about that. We were SMS, but perhaps not everyone got it. And at the end of this meeting, maybe you could share with Mr. Medema to ensure that he's got the proper cells and Mr. Herman's, because I did get mine, but... it was changed because the venue would have been too small yet for the meeting. But I apologize on behalf of staff, all right? Honourable Elbert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Advocate Fanamava. Just two questions about the process. Can we get electronic copies, versions of this bill, just to have a look at it ourselves and to work on it on computer? And secondly, electronically, yes. If I understand you correctly, Advocate Van der Merwe, this is the version that comes from DTI. It does not contain any of the recommendations provided by the hearings that we had. Because what I would like to see in future is something which we've never done it. I don't think we've ever done it. I might be wrong. But I would like to see if changes are made in the bill, I would like to connect it to the people who made submissions. I want to see actually that the people who are part of the hearings and organizations, that their recommendations are linked into the bill, because we are bound by a constitutional court judgment in that regard, that public consultation cannot be window dressing. You must hear what people are saying, and you must some way reflect what they have submitted to you in the bill. You cannot merely ignore them. So when we look at policy in the bill, I want to know, does it come from the DTI? Does it come from SAMRO? Does it come from songwriters? Does it come from whoever? So that we can get a clear sense of how policy is formulated in the end in this bill. Thank you very much.
Just on that note about it was the public hearings, am I right, Honourable Albert? Ms. Sheldon has distributed part of that, and I was just checking with her more or less when. It's a matrix that, you know how we've normally had it. We did get that, as I recall. Do you? No, okay, she's busy. I may have got part of it. She is still continuing with, because we encourage people to continue to send in, you know. But I think what we should do, Ms. Sheldon too has had so much on her plate, as has all the staff, but if we could try and get the matrix, and let's just see, Ms. Sheldon, do you think we could get it by next week, the end of next week? So by the end of next week, she has been working on it, and I've seen part of it. And it's exactly what you're asking for. You know, this is here, and you get the list that said X and Y and disagreed or agreed, etc. And we have found that very helpful. I do agree there. So is that all right, Nick, by next Thursday, Friday? All right. Thanks, Honourable Albert. But there was, you said you, oh, sorry, Honourable McPherson.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Thanks, Advocate. I mean, I think that we can all agree that the first time we embarked on this process, it was frustrating, to say the least, you know, more so because of the way that the bill had been drafted, and the apparent sort of divergence that had taken place from what the policy position was and then what was actually in the bill, and then what the presentations of the DTI was. I mean, they seem to be polar opposite from one another. And so, I mean, I'd like to get some clarity whether the B bill, if you want to call it, is closer to the policy that was already envisaged, because the two external people that have assisted you are, in my mind, more in line with what, you know, the DTI had tried to push. So, Advocate, how have you managed to resolve those, you know, different spaces? I think it would be absolutely critical that we understand how the submissions, both into the original bill and the secondary submissions that were made during the public hearing, how those have been taken into account, and how we're going to marry those up. So I'd just like you just to assist the consistently with whether we're actually going to be provided with all of those submissions sort of tracked, or how you've done it. Thank you.
Right. Shall we get started off with that then, the responses? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Issa has been, everything that referred to user as a right holder has been removed from the bill. So that was part of the amendments that we've done. So where there was a list of a user, performer, et cetera, has this right to do X, Y, and Z, it is now read copyright owner. So we have fixed that up. That was exactly the type of thing that we had to fix up, because a lot of members of the public were concerned about users getting rights. It had conflicting meanings in the end. But DDI confirmed that that was never the intention. It was an absolute mistake in the bill. So we have cleared that up. Users are only, and I've quickly searched through the bill electronically, are only retained where they have to pay royalties. So I think that will resolve that concern. Advocate Albert, the electronic copies, I'm sure that Andre would be able to make it available, because I have provided him with the electronic copies. He has, in fact, both the one with the deletions and the one that is cleaned up without the deletions. So, in other words, the deletions can be called sort of, if members would agree with us in the end for a redraft, the deletions document will be retained as a record of things that we have deleted, and then the cleaned up version would be the one that we will be working on going forward. In respect of the policy there, Honourable McPherson also speaks to yours, your question. When I worked through the submissions myself, I identified policy issues and I identified drafting issues. So the drafting issues from the submissions have all been taken into account in this draft. We do not specifically say this person or that person or the following person. It becomes a big task to do that, because I'm not sure, but I think we received quite a number, over 70 submissions. So to list everyone, because a lot of them were repeating the same concern. But I do think, and if that would be acceptable, the matrix that Margaret prepares, what I have done in the past is I would add a column to it, and I will just put my own comments there. So I can just indicate this has been accommodated. So I think that can be done. If members would just give me a little bit of a chance after Marco has done the matrix to do that, because I'm also working on the debt bill. So definitely on those policies. Ms. McPherson, in respect of is the B bill closer to the policy that was envisaged, the B bill now reads as the DTI's presentations happened on the bill. So when the bill was introduced and the DTI had to come and present to this committee what the bill is trying to achieve, that is what the B bill currently says. We did not touch on the policy issues that came up from the submissions, simply because even if DTI indicated, no, they agree with that policy position, and I don't want to mention specific things now, but there are, and where the DTI says, no, they understand what people are saying about this issue, and they agree. But because it is a policy change as a drafting team, because the drafting team was something quite unique, I don't know of any other committee in Parliament that has done that, where you first give officials an opportunity to work on the bill before members look at the bill. And we as officials should not be informing policy, is my belief, and I don't think that was our instruction. So where the DTI indicated that they would agree with the change in policy, we made a little text box, and we indicated policy concern, X, Y, and Z. So when the committee actually works through the bill, and then, of course, when we have the matrix from Margo as well, we will see all the concerns that are raised, and then it's for this committee to say, we agree with the policy that DTI has proposed with the introduction, or we disagree with that policy. We think that how the public, the concerns of the public is not addressed by the DTI stance, or et cetera. And then we will look at how to change it. So those changes have not been made. It is simply technical things, making the bill read easier. There are some things that could have looked like policy, like the issue of users having rights. But I think that was such a clear mistake that kind of thing we did fix up. Because we could confirm with PTI, when you introduced the bill, what was your policy intention? And if they said this was the policy intention when we introduced, we made sure that that is what the bill in the end said. So there are some things where some might have been raised by persons from the public. Some came up during when the drafting team was considering it, where we would say, but could this really be the meaning of what we are saying here? And then we've rather flagged it for the committee to consider. So this bill is not by far ready to be adopted as a B bill. The instruction that we require is just whether we are going to proceed as a redraft so that we know how to put our records in order. Once this bill is started, once this committee starts to look at this bill, it will almost be as if the bill is introduced in the committee. So those deliberations, considering the public hearing comments, that must all still take place. It is only where the public made a comment on a technical issue that we have addressed it. And like I said, all of those have been addressed.
Did you want to do a follow-up?
Thanks, Advocate. I mean, I totally agree with you that, policy is not your space, and that's a fight for us to have with the DTI. But I just need to understand whether and maybe I didn't hear it correctly, the concerns of the public with respect to definitions, that sort of thing, technical definitions, legal definitions, has that been accepted and reworded?
Was that a hand, Honourable Williams? I wasn't sure. Honourable Esther Hazen?
Thank you, Cristina Merrill. Yes, thank you for that. It was also, the provision regarding orphan work has also been removed, if I'm correct, and craft work. It was also the little things that didn't make sense, but I think that is also taken out. I still one little concern, and maybe... the funded, there's not really a definition of which is funded, what belongs to the state, like academics writing textbooks and things, then it belongs to the university and nobody's got any claim on that. So is that still appropriate in the book?
Thank you, Chair.
Mr. McPherson, yes, definitions we have cleared up. What we have done is where there were concerns about definition, we have confirmed with trade where the definition originated from, and I think all of the definitions that were amended originated from one or other treaty. So we went back to the treaty to make sure that it accords with the treaty. In fact, some definitions we changed, and then in subsequent sessions we changed back because of making sure that it complies with the treaty. So. But I need to just make it clear, that does not mean that the proposal that we will be putting before the committee is now the final proposal just because technical amendments have been done. If the committee still feels we don't like this, we want to go broader than the treaty, then those things can still be done. Mr. Esaisen, the two things that you have mentioned, we have actually flagged as policy concerns. So on orphan work, the question was whether orphan work should not be rather dealt with as an exception rather than this, like the bill provides for a very intricate process. We have cleaned up some technical issues around that process. There were, for instance, something about the owner not being able to claim after 5 years. Those kind of things we've all flagged as policy issues, because although it sounds technical, it does have policy implications, because if there's no longer going to be a process, but it happens through the exceptions clauses, that is something we felt the committee needs to needs to rather have, it was a big change. So we thought we'll rather flag it, and the committee should discuss that. The funded by is in fact one of the issues where the DTI has looked at the comments from people, and I've indicated that that was never the intention. So we were going to change it, but then some people around the table were saying they are concerned that it is a policy question. So we have flagged it as a policy issue for the committee to discuss. So we did take notice of that, but like I said, we were careful not to interfere in policy.
Just as an input, after we listened to all the public input, we did clarify our position, and our position was that the issue of orphan works, the issue of state funding, all those things, we withdrew that as a DTI. We said that the emphasis of the changes must be with regards to the Farnham Commission's recommendation to strengthen the position of artists and our musicians and our collection societies. We need to put those, that is the our policy position. The other issues, we said it is too contentious, and at this stage we think we're not pursuing those things anymore. So I think why the committee is now, I mean, keep debating the issues. There are no more policy debates. We've withdrawn our issues on those issues. So it should just be removed, and the committee should put that in the bill and actually just focus on the Farnham Commission. And then I think we'll have done something for the artists.
You know, this point does keep on coming up. So is that now clear with everyone then? Okay? So that we don't come back to it. All right. You still had Esterhazen, Honorable Esterhazen.
Sorry, I don't know. I don't agree with it, actually. I don't agree with people writing textbooks, for example, academics and anything that's funded by the state, and they lose everything on that. That's like onteigning, what's the word in English? That's just not acceptable. We can't with the committee. I don't agree with that at all.
Well, you know, in that respect, I mean, this we can discuss in our deliberations. It then becomes the deliberation of the committee, and you are raising that essentially, perhaps just for my benefit, if you would just alert me to the clause that it is in, it will be helpful. Perhaps the advocate can help. Advocate, which clause?
Chair, the funded by issue is clause 3, section 5. Clause 3, and orphan works is, if you now have the new documents before you, it would be clause 24, and it inserts section 22A.
Retain something or to earn something. Is that the clause then, Advocate van der Merwe, 22A?
That clause is a clause 3, section 5. It deals with the fact that we inserted, or the bill inserts the word funded by government. So in other words, the criticism was that universities receive funding. What about people who receive grants from government? So all of those could be included in funding, because funding is quite broad. And I know that, that when we've discussed it in the drafting team, or DTI can perhaps talk to that themselves as well, but the concern was that it's not so much the fact that DTI, that when the state funds indirectly, that they wanted the product. So in the drafting team already, the consensus from DTI was that the words funded by can be taken out. But like I said, that's a big implication, so we did not want to do that ourselves.
All right, so what you're saying is that notwithstanding the DTI withdrawing and saying, no, look, we agree, let it be, it's remained in here, but if we then accept a DTI says, no, we don't have an issue, the committee has an issue, take it out then, you know, then it would read, copyright should be conferred by this section on every work which is eligible for copyright and which is made by or under the direction, all right, or control of the state, or international or local organizations. Is that what you're saying? It could read in that way. In other words, it would appear then that the point you're making, Honorable Esterhazen, falls away, because your concern is that you write a textbook, you should get that royalty or whatever it is. Isn't that what you're saying? You see, initially, if it was as it was, it came to us, then I can see your point. But if that's been taken out, if it's taken out, all right, then if I write this textbook, I don't have a problem. I'm going to get what's due to me. I'm not talking about orphan works now. I'm talking just about the funding one, whereas you say, no, you know, if someone writes a textbook, there could be this challenge. I'm saying the point you made would fall away with the way it should be read. Take out what DTI put there, and we move on that basis. But we haven't addressed orphan works, all right? We haven't done that. But you don't have to, you know, pursue it now. I think when it's cleaner, it'll become more evident what one is saying. Because you weren't the only one. Quite a few organizations raised this, or individuals, as you know. Right. And it was a point made by several people. What was the other one then on page 26? A person who wishes to obtain a license to do an act which is subject to copyright. What is the red again? Mm-hmm. Or a resale royalty right in respect of an orphan work must make an application to the commission in the prescribed manner. Could you just explain that to us, please, Advocate van der Merwe?
Chair, so what happens here is that sometimes with works that are subject to copyright, the copyright owner, whether that's the author or a person who bought the work from the author, cannot be traced. And then the problem is that no one can make use of that work without going through a lot of trouble trying to get permission to do so. So Section 22A is intending to put a process forward where a person who now wants to make use of a work, for instance, there is some music, and the person wants to use part of that music in a little jingle for an advert, then, and the person cannot trace who the owner of the song is, or the copyright owner of the song is, the person can then apply to the commission and show to the commission that they've tried, they've published in the Gazette, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then the commission could give permission for this person to use that song or part of that song in the jingle. Then the idea is that person will pay a royalty into a fund, and then should at some point the copyright owner come forward and say, hey, but you're using my song in your jingle, the person will say, no, 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 I did apply to the commission, and I did pay royalties there, so you can go and get your royalties from the commission. So that is the tension with this, yeah. But the converse argument is that this is also, this process is still very, convoluted. It's still a lot of red tape for someone to do, and it could rather fall under the principle of fair use. So looking at that, you're not exceeding the purpose of the use, et cetera, et cetera. And if that is the decision, and I mean, DTI has now indicated that they want to rather take this process out, then it will simply fall under fair use. So you must not use more of it than is necessary.
Point for members to hear. If the DTI takes that out and they've indicated they wish to or they will, then what is the point you're making about fair use? Because that's another contention in the committee, a difference of opinion.
The principle then is that it will fall under the fair use exception, and I just want to actually go, then the four principles will apply. So in other words, you will look at the nature of the work, you will look at the amount and substantiality of the work, of the part of the work that is in fact affected, the purpose and character of the use, is it commercial, is it non-profit, etc., and the substitution effect it has on the potential market value for the work in question. So those are the four factors that will be taken into account. But other things could also be taken into account, but those are the four main ones. So the concern, I think I think that there's a little bit more discussion that needs to be. I would not recommend that at this point. I've made a note on the funded by. But I would really think that the committee should first discuss the issue of fair use and fair dealing before we take out the clause that deals with orphan works. Because if the committee's decision is that we are going with fair dealing, or that fair use would not cover everything that the orphan works are providing for, then we're still leaving artists in the lurch or users in the lurch where they can't be making use of the work. So I would suggest that fair use, fair dealing first be discussed by the committee, sorted out, and then we look at the consequential impacts of that.
I think that's a sensible approach to take, because that's the whole crux of things, isn't it? You know, which way one goes, or is it a hybrid approach? So I think, at 9:30 now, and I think, DG, what time are you actually leaving? I thought as much, right. Because I want to propose, just looking at the program, which we all have, is that, as we take this bill through, we need, I think, to ask Advocate van der Merwe about issues around what kind of bill have we got here now. Is it an A bill, is it a B bill, and this, that, and the next thing? What are the advantages, disadvantages? So that we do have that clear understanding about the time that we need. It's the 19th tomorrow, all right? The 20th, read out. Now, on the 19th, we were looking at the adoption of the terms of reference, and that is a problem for the inquiry on compliance with localization policies. And that is the one thing that we would have to do this week. Now, I think we've got the terms of reference, haven't we? No, but we can print. Because we've had one set already, so I think we could do that. Because what I'm looking at, Advocate van der Merwe, is that if you could just take members through. We've asked you to draft this, to put in these issues. Now, what are we going to get? What kind of document will we get out of this? Plus the fact we want another exercise done, which is in the process of being compiled, and that is the public hearings, exactly. So that when we come here again, we're going to be looking at a situation of your document, our bill, recrafted, etc., plus the submissions, plus what they gave us, but we don't need plus what they gave us because it will already be evident from what is in your bill. So we'll be working from three documents, basically. All right, the next time. But I would like Advocate van der Merwe just to explain how that will work.
The committee can work on this bill in one of two ways. We could, well, I suppose start with the second clause, just leave definitions for now, because definitions tend to speak to the body of the bill and can be dealt with piecemeal as they come up in the bill. So the committee can either start with issues from clause 2, go to clause 3, go to clause 4, and so on, or there has been a document developed, Margot has developed a document with Zokwanda, highlighting the big policy issues. It does mean that the committee will jump around a bit in the bill, but that might be a better way of dealing with it. So in other words, we could show the committee which are the clauses that are affected by those big policy decisions, and then we deal with those policy decisions first. And because some of the things like the fair use and the fair dealing decision affect a number of clauses. So if that thing is dealt with, then we can see where it fits into other clauses. So, but those will be the two options, and that is why we would recommend that the committee goes with a redraft, because there is going to be a lot of changes still to be made on the bill in relation to policy things that affect policy, and it becomes very difficult to read a bill where you have deletions and inclusions and things like that. So the committee will look at the bill that we've done, that is what we propose, the one that just shows the end result, what the bill will look like when the committee votes on it. And then the committee can decide either to do clause by clause or to focus on the big policy issues and work with those clauses first.
I think that process is quite clear. Honourable William.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think that we should go with the big policy issues first before we... that's the way we should go through this bill. Because if we go clause by clause, then we could run into a policy at the end and then it would change what we did at the beginning. So I think we should go with the big policy issues first, you know.
Your view, Honourable MacPherson?
Yeah, I think it should be, you know, sort of what we... how we approach the debt bill, but hopefully with a little bit more engagement on what the fundamentals are, you know, that are going to underpin this. And I think that those fundamentals must be, you know, certain policy issues. So I think let's agree to what those fundamental policy issues should be. And then once we've got that, that will inform, you know, the clause-by-clause process.
Right. Honourable Albert.
Madam Chair, yes, thank you. I agree with that. I think... the contentious issues are the policy issues, so if we can flag those and deal with them point by point, and then once we've discussed them, we can go back and look at the bill from the start to finish. I think that's the most important thing, because I think that it becomes confusing to deal with the bill as a whole from beginning to finish while trying to keep in mind the policies that you need to address. Thank you very much.
Honourable
Alberts, Honourable Esterhazen. Madam Chair, thank you. I'm also covered with that. I think the fundamental issues will be confusing if we try to deal with the thing as well. We must do it in the fundamental matter.
Look, I think then we know the line, you know, of March on this one then. We'll approach it in that way. But we still need to ensure that within the schedule that we do have, that we keep on track. Looking and reassessing the amount of work that is going to be done here, that is required to get through this, and it is a great deal, I'm sure we all acknowledge that. It is important for us to tackle this bill very robustly. It's a serious piece of legislation, and one of the things I would like us to consider is that once we have some form of bill, as it were, that we have brought about, etc., and the policy issues, there has to be some way that we can communicate this to those who came to the hearings, you know, that kind of thing, because they want to know what's happening. Where are we with this? Many of them are still working on the old, you know, what the bill that was actually tabled. That's what they're working on. And this is a far cry from that, you see. And I think it's very important then that we don't leave them out there and then suddenly come up with this and they say, but hang on, this is a brand new, you know, sort of issue here. And what do we do? So I do have to clear that as such with to ensure that we can do that. We don't seem to have had a problem in the past. So essentially we keep those who have made, submitted their viewpoints to us and made comments, we keep them in the loop. But they can't expect us to send them a copy of the bill every 5 minutes that we're working on, you see. But at least let's get to a point where we say this is more or less where we are. This is what we're now going to engage with, clause by clause, having looked at the policy, etc. So I think that's where we are. So for the moment then, I think we can leave the copyright aside. Am I right? Everyone agree on that? The decision on the sugar growers, that wasn't taken yesterday. All right? But you see, it's 3, 4, 5. We've got the numbers. So let's see if we can persuade people to agree with this, Honourable Kajali. I don't know. We saw the Sugar Growers, Development Growers Association here, and I'm just looking, South African Farmers Development, was it? Association. And they came to us because the law goes back to 1978 and even earlier, and then a slight amendment was made in 1992 simply to indicate by law that blacks were no longer illegal for blacks to own, you know, the work and have this. But that is how but since we've had 1994 a democratic government, it wasn't looked at. And the DG from DTI brokered some form of agreement, which they all signed. And then it would appear, and I'm using the word appear, because we only saw one group, that they reneged on this, on implementing it, which is why these folks came to see us. Now, after going into that for several, I think it was 2 hours or so, if not longer, the committee members who were there, which represented three or four, the proposal in this case put forward by the Honourable Kacharya, but everyone was agreeing with it who was there, was that the minister applies his mind and the absence of a timorous reply from the South African Cane Growers Association to the letter of the 20th of April 2017 from the DTI to the issuance of amended regulations to give effect to the recommendations contained in that letter with additional regard to to SAFTA's proposals and concerns. The second point is that this should be done expeditiously by and given the South African Cane Growers Association's non-response to date that they are requested to respond within 7 days of the receipt of the letter. The necessary legal and other party and ancillary information is gathered with urgency. The committee is advised within 14 days thereof of the progress in this regard. The above is within the purview of the minister's scope and actions to implement and issue. Essentially, the committee's opinion that a letter, 20th of April 2017, nothing happening, etc., people ignoring it, that now they've come to us, we should write a letter to the minister directly asking him to do these, to follow up on that letter, to exercise the powers that he already has to ensure that the information or the instructions, recommendations were carried out. So that's what is there, but some of you may be of the opinion who've not had the documents. Honourable Alberts, have you got the documents? Honourable Esterhazen, do you have the documents? They were from, what was it, on Friday, was it? Last Friday. Right. I can only say I know that Mr. Hermans is actually very ill this morning. He simply came in to get the bill through. He's gone straight back to the doctor. And perhaps because of that, he hasn't brought all the documents here. So I'll ask Mr. Medema to make those documents available to you members in your mailboxes. You have party mailboxes, don't you? Mm. I think that's the best, Honourable Kecharia, because it's only you and I who were there, and it really would make nonsense of democracy if we pursued this point. So that is what I will do, and you'll get them by tomorrow, if that is okay with the two members there. Have you got them, Honourable Williams? Okay, I'll see that you get them. Honourable Montash, you don't have them either. All right. Honourable MacPherson, do you have the documents? No. All right, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I think that will be done, and we'll get Mr. Medema to try and pursue it. Right. The other item we had to pass when we had a quorum was one that we all, again, in the same way that I thought that the committee worked very collegiately yesterday in terms of ensuring that tax appreciated what it is we are trying to do with the debt relief and gave us a responsible answer. And we worked as a group, a team, and that achieved what we needed. Now, the same thing I understand is localization of, the local the designations, South African designations. We took a decision to undertake an inquiry under specific terms of reference. You all received, was emailed to all of you, the initial framework and then the more detailed framework. But we asked for more work to, no, that was done, but we then asked for more work to be done. And members were going to come with names of people they thought would be suitable for the panel. Don't you remember that? Yes, we had a meeting on that, and all of you here other than Honourable Alberts was present. And and you weren't here, Honourable Montash, yes. But the issue was, people wanted a time to bring in the names of members. Well, they've had a week. We haven't had nothing. Absolutely nothing. Other than those that were proposed. All right? Have you got the list that was proposed of members? Yes, for that, the terms of reference. Could you put it up, please? I know you were there, Honourable Williams. I know you were there. Yeah. point, we are really looking for a really good, strong, technical senior counsel. It's not possible for us, also to have discussions with Advocate van der Merwe and the legal division of Parliament, and we don't have such a person here in this field. So we have, we do have to get that person outside of Parliament. Now, it's dragging on and on, especially as it'll take us 3 weeks to process. And we wanted to be able to invite the entities that we're doing the inquiry on in the middle of November. So it's become somewhat urgent that this is no longer delayed. Can I please suggest you all come forward if you wish to put forward a name or a couple of names of senior, and I must stress the word, senior experienced counsel. We need that, and we need it on Tuesday, please. Shall we extend the date then rather than belabor the point? Can we do that? You agreed, Honourable Macpherson? Right. So we won't be adopting those terms of reference in its finality today. Please study them. One of the things that I emphasized is there are different forms of inquiry that Parliament may conduct. And we're not conducting the kind of inquiry that some committees are going to conduct. But it does not prevent us asking for material we need to, in order to exercise this oversight. But our approach would be to invite people to show us these contracts, etc., and only when they refuse categorically, do you follow, then we may summons it. The other issue that was raised, for those of you who weren't present, what do we do about those individuals who would like to assist but believe that they would like to do so in a closed meeting? That is possible in the inquiry of Parliament. So it's all those things you'll need to look at, all right? And we'll try and see that you get them tomorrow morning, the ones electronically that are there, knowing that there's just a name missing. That's the only thing that's missing in this document, all right? So what you're getting handed out now is not the actual one that you would have had today, but is the one that had been issued 2 weeks ago, was it, Margot? So you're not getting the one that we would have had to work on, but simply for some of you who've never had anything, that's what it is. You've had it, Honourable Macpherson, so have I, all right? And on that note then, we're going to move forward. There aren't any minutes other than the minutes that had to be amended. And we're going to ask you to tell us where we're meeting on Tuesday, please, Mr. Medima. Does everyone know where M201 is? Yeah, I think we've been there before. Okay, so we're going to M201, 9 o'clock on Tuesday. Right, and what's on the schedule? What's on the schedule? Actually, Mr. Hermans was going to be the secretary today, so if it looks like, Mr. Medima is a bit upside down. It's a little unfair. He was just pulled in. It's going to be the submission of draft committee bill on debt relief for consideration. Presentation by National Treasury on study, if available. I'm simply reading off the program you all have. So I know that Mr. Herman's intention was for us to work on this program and change it around a bit so we use the time more effectively. But you must understand that what will be there on Tuesday will be the terms of reference. It will be the sugar farmers issue for decisions, just for decisions, all right? after you've studied the documents. With Honourable, you know, with Advocate van der Merwe's agreement, we may do something there with the copyright, but it would have to be in her timeline because she's working on three bills. Will you be there on Tuesday or not? I forgot what, yes. So we'll do the copyright as well. So you'll have four items then on your agenda on Tuesday. All right. It's a lot of work. I want to repeat again that we are not meeting tomorrow night because it was not approved by Honourable Froelich, but we are applying for next Thursday. All right? On that note, the meeting is adjourned till next Tuesday. The finance, those going to finance, it's S12A. S12A. Those going to finance. It's just a small... Thank you.